A lot of times when we hear stories of domestic violence, people wonder why someone either stays so long or why do they keep going back? Well, if you haven't lived in that situation, you probably don't understand it. A new book out this summer examines both the tenderness and the violence of a marriage gone terribly wrong. This book, titled Goodbye, Sweet Girl, A Story of Domestic Violence and Survival, is a memoir written by Kelly Sundberg. Sundberg grew up in Salmon, Idaho, and Monday she will be appearing at the Linen Building in Boise to discuss her book. But before she does that, she's joining me live in studio to talk more about the book. Thank you so much for coming in today, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you would, give us a little bit of background about your marriage and your former spouse, because we were talking right before the program, and a lot of so-called stereotypes you don't fit the mold of.
Right. We were both educated. I now have a PhD. He's a professor at a university. We were middle class, although we struggled financially early on in the marriage, as most couples do. Neither of us came from abusive families. And so there were really no kind of societal markers of what people think constitutes the red flags of abuse. So in trying to explain my situation and how it happened, I've really worked to try to fight the stigma and the way that we stigmatize victims and survivors of domestic violence, because when we assume that people who experience domestic violence have all the same qualities, then we really limit our discussions about domestic violence, because the truth is domestic violence can happen to anyone.
And you are also not young when you got married. I mean, a little bit more than the average age for an American female to get married.
Right. I was 27 when we got married. And so I wasn't a kid. I would say the marriage was impulsive. We did it quickly. I got pregnant before we got engaged. And that is always kind of a warning sign when you get married, because you're pregnant. It's not a good idea. But I was 27. I was a feminist. I was opinionated. No one who knew me would have thought that I would have ended up in a situation like that.
So tell me, about that. I mean, you talk a little bit in the book about, you grew up in Salmon, which, as we all know, it's isolated. It's a mountain community. In fact, a lot of people say it's, the most redneck town in Idaho. But you draw a lot of comparisons between how you grew up in Salmon and with your marriage, because there are a lot of contradictions.
Right. And I love Salmon. It will always be my home. It's a part of who I am. And I think us who are from Salmon would say it's not the most redneck town in Idaho. But definitely there were clear, I think anytime you have a small community, there are going to be clear roles for men and clear roles for women. And as much as I railed against those roles when I was being raised, I didn't realize how I had internalized them. And I think maybe the number one thing that I had internalized was that as women, we were supposed to forgive men for their bad behavior, that our ultimate redemption didn't come through what we achieved or who we are, but for how compassionate we were to men. So when later I found myself with a husband who was cruel to me, I found myself really working to dig deep and find empathy for him and to understand where he was coming from and to make excuses for him in the same way that I had seen my community doing for men my entire childhood.
I'm speaking with Kelly Sundberg. She is the author of a new memoir entitled Goodbye, Sweet Girl. She will be speaking and reading a bit of her book at the Linen Building in Boise Monday, August 13th at 6 p.m. And Kelly, take me back to, to when the abuse started, because you talk about you loved him. I mean, there were times in the marriage that were good, but then ultimately you found the courage to leave. I am assuming that you didn't go into this marriage with him abusing you.
No.
At that point.
Yeah, I had no idea that he even had any seeds of anger. He was, and this is something that's really symptomatic of domestic violence, is that abusers in the beginning of a relationship really are able to be very charismatic, to portray themselves as offering what the victim thinks she wants. So for me, he seemed incredibly tender, incredibly supportive, all of the things that I had always looked for in a marriage. And his anger didn't really start to come out until after we had been together for about a year. And then at that point, it was in emotional ways, in that if I was upset and I cried, he'd scream at me to stop crying. And I would blame myself for his anger because I would think, well, my crying is the thing that's making him angry, as opposed to thinking that his anger was the problem. And then he started with physical intimidation. He backed me into corners. And so we'd be arguing and I'd want to leave and he'd have me backed into a corner. And actually, I was in Boise State at the time as an undergrad, and I spoke to a woman at the counseling center and she told me that was domestic violence.
What was your reaction?
I went to him and I told him that, and he got angry and he said, "Are you calling me an abuser?" And I just backed off and I apologized, because I still had such a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that using your body to intimidate someone is also domestic violence, that it doesn't just take physical contact, that it begins first with limiting the person's mobility. And so after that, when he started to break things or take my keys or keep me from leaving, I just did not understand that that was the pattern of escalation.
And you talk about in the book something that I think is very rare that we hear about in these relationships. You actually say you had some responsibility in this.
Yeah, I am a sassy person. Everyone who knows me says that. I don't know that I would say that it was responsibility as much as I'm trying to own in the book the things that I could have done differently. The only thing I really could have done differently would have been to leave sooner. But I shouldn't have made so many excuses for him. Mm. I have a chapter in the book. It's called An Incomplete List of Things We Tried. And it's a very long, thorough list of all of these ridiculous-sounding things we tried. Like, I tried mindfulness because I think, well, he's not abusing me right now, so therefore, I'm okay right now, so, like, it's fine. And those kinds of things didn't work. And I also did get angry in the marriage. I broke things too. I tried to fight back. And what I've learned since I've learned more about domestic violence is that I'm not an angry person in general. I was responding to the abuse. And actually, I think that my willingness to kind of try to fight back is probably why I got out in the end. But did he use it then to, you know, he held me down at one point. I tried to fight back and he held me down and spit in my face. And I'm sorry, that's very graphic. But then he said.
No, but that's honest.
But it's honest, yeah. And then he said, "You made me so angry. You made me do this terrible thing to you." And I believed it. And so it was just a very complicated web.
And you were married for 9 years. It's
yes.
been 5 years since you left. So not long ago at all. What finally made you decide, you know, it's time to leave? Because we know statistically, first off, that what is it? 1 in 4 women over the age of 18 will be in some type of domestic abusive relationship, will suffer from domestic violence. But also that if you leave, that's usually when, if there is going to be violence against you to the point of being killed, it happens when you leave.
Yeah, I think it was a kind of perfect storm. For one thing, we had gotten faculty positions in a dorm at WVU. We'd moved into the dorm. I hadn't wanted to live in the dorm, but I realized looking back that I was thinking subconsciously that I would be safe there, which means that I was in a place where I was trying to establish safety. I was not safe there. But then also, his violence really escalated in the last year of the marriage. His physical violence was very slow. He didn't hit me until we'd been married for 2 years. And then he didn't hit me for a year after that. So I was really able to write it off as an outlier, the violence. But at the end of the marriage, he was violent quite regularly. And I could recognize, I remember using the word abuse in my head. And once I was able to recognize that it was abuse, I knew I needed to get out. And then I saw a counselor and I showed her the bruises. And that was the first time I'd told anyone that he was physically abusing me. And so I didn't know I was taking steps to get out of the marriage, but I was definitely preparing myself, thinking of what I would do, where I would go. And then the final incident was he threw a bowl at me, and it broke my foot, and he was arrested. And I actually went back to him for 2 days after that because I thought maybe that would be the thing that would make him change. And then my mother, who was in Salmon, Idaho at the time, so far away, mm-hmm. called me and she said, I called the domestic violence shelter. I just want you to promise me you'll go talk to them. So I went in and I talked to them, and the woman showed me the cycle of violence, and it was so familiar that I went back to the dorm and I packed as many bags as I could, and I picked up my son and we went to a friend's house and stayed on her floor.
And there has to be shame wrapped around that, I would venture to guess.
I mean, there's not anymore, but at the time it was absolutely humiliating.
Yeah,
it was the most humiliating experience of my life. Now I actually can own it with quite a bit of pride, because looking back now, I think like that took a tremendous amount of strength. But at the time, it just felt like so shameful to have everyone in my community, and it's this academic community where people very much value image and mm-hmm. prestige, and they all just knew that my marriage had been a sham.
Why did you ultimately write the book?
I wrote the book because, well, so when I started my PhD program, I left my ex-husband and started the PhD program a week later, and I wrote an essay about why I stayed in the marriage. And I wrote that essay because there was a woman, one of his friends, who had asked me what my triggers were that led me to stay in the marriage. And at the time, I didn't have the language of like gaslighting or, mm-hmm. or victim blaming. I just knew it felt bad. So I wrote this essay to try to explain to her why I stayed for so long. And it went viral, and it was included in a prestigious series, the Best American Series. And I realized that there was just a hungry audience for stories of why women stay. And when I say that, I recognize that the question of why women stay is problematic, that really we should be questioning why men abuse. But the truth is, I can't answer why he abused me. I have no idea. I would love to know, but I don't think I'll ever understand that. So all I can answer is why I stayed.
I really appreciate you coming in today, Kelly, and talking about this. I think I could spend the entire hour talking to you about this. If you want to hear parts of Kelly's book and have a discussion about this, she will be at the Linen Building in Boise at 6 p.m. on Monday, August 13th. You can also buy her book. It was on Oprah's reading list, so it's going to be hard to get at the library right now, but an Elle magazine called it one of the books that you must read this summer. It is called Goodbye, Sweet Girl. Kelly, thank you so much for talking to me
today. Thank you so much for having me.